Opening the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Human Services. It is work session on Senate Bill 5528, Insurance School Governing Board. That's right, Ms. Archer.
Chair, members of the subcommittee, this is a pretty simple and straightforward work session document for this agency that's relatively small on the one hand and somewhat large on the other. But as noted in the memo, the governor's recommended budget for the Insurance School Governing Board was about $22.6 million total funds and 11 FTE, which would have been a 5.6% increase over 9901 estimated expenditures, but is essentially a current service level budget. During the public hearings, the subcommittee discussed access to health insurance in general, and in particular talked about subsidy levels within the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program. We discussed the fact that funding for this program is switched in the governor's recommended budget from tobacco tax revenues to tobacco settlement funds. And then we talked about potential changes in the way FEOP subsidy levels might be used to expand services. In general, we have made, if you look at your spreadsheet about the total budget, taken the primarily the technical adjustments that we have taken on all current service level budgets, and that is the only adjustment to the current service level. So we are proposing that you acknowledge, even though we realize there isn't any such thing as a current service level budget really, but that you acknowledge that the current cost of maintaining current services would be $528,576 general fund, $22,030. I think I have the wrong number there. Let me get this straight here. No, that's right. $22,018 other funds, and that includes $21,980,000. I'm not very new. Numbers are new.
Monday morning.
$21,980,287 of tobacco settlement funds within those other funds, within that other funds limitation. And the current service level adjustments, again, are only those technical adjustments, PERS, Attorney General charges, DAS, Human Resources Services Division assessments, and telecommunications long distance rate reductions. So that would be the current service level and 11.50 FTE. In terms of the policy packages, there is a co-chair or LFO option to reduce the FEOP budget by $2 million. So that reduces tobacco tax settlement. That is both in the, if you'll remember from your caucus meetings, that was both in the governor's revised plan as well as the co-chair's plan. And then the other package, the other reduction is simply the co-chair's 1% of services and supplies and 1% of out-of-state travel. So with those package reductions and co-chair reductions, the total budget comes to $525,529 general fund, $20,032,018 other funds, including $19,980,287 tobacco settlement funds, and then a total budget of $20,557,547 and 11.5 FTE.
Hey, we got all this understood. Representative Schroeder.
Just before we make a couple motions, just like to get Rocky up to the witness stand if that's possible. Just two issues from my standpoint. One is we did discuss, as LFO pointed out, about some potential changes in the subsidy levels as a way of expanding enrollment. And just glancing at the material we got, it looks like you had have addressed some of that. I am a fan of trying to leverage our resources here in Oregon, hopefully with federal match dollars as part of a waiver, rather than have it all tobacco settlement or general fund, and like some comments on that potential, and then also where we're going with this program, because I do like the idea of partnering with private industry, which is basically what I see the FEOP program doing. You're encouraging and assisting people without giving them a handout. They give them an opportunity to stay with health insurance and, again, augment our private resources. So it's okay, Madam Chair, if you could comment on this?
Certainly.
My name is Rocky King. I'm the administrator for the Insurance Pool Governing Board. Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, we provided you with some materials today in response to a question that came up that said, what would happen if we reduced the subsidy levels that we currently pay from 95% and 90 and 70 by about 15%? The result of that would be approximately 700 to 800, I believe, individuals that we could end up paying insurance for. Now, that's somewhat a simple calculation. You just take the dollars and add it. Some caution, though, I want to give to those figures, and that's included, I believe, in the last two pages of the materials I handed out. If you reduce those subsidy levels, what you end up doing, though, is really giving the incentive for those people who need the care the most, those with chronic conditions, to enroll in the FEOP program as opposed to normal healthy people who are just trying to insure themselves. That could result in a older population, a unhealthier population that enrolls in FEOP, and through adverse selection increase your cost somewhat. So even though I've provided those figures to you, you need to understand that those are really mathematical and they're not behavioral. We haven't really factored in what people would do with those lower subsidy levels. I want to talk a little bit about some of our options. The $2 million cut that has been agreed to would result in approximately 500 to 600 less Oregonians being able to enroll in the program. However, we do have some policy options we'll be working with the governor's office, the Oregon Health Plan Policy and Research, and the Oregon Health Council to look at to mitigate some of those reductions. One of those could be a reduction in the subsidy. Also, though, one could be a reduction in the amount of choices that people have to enroll in plans. For example, when we established this program in 1997, one of the principles was principle of choice, that people could buy any plan that was offered in the private market by one of the carriers that we had certified. So they, in essence, could have the same options that someone who had the money had. Well, we may have to limit some of those options because there are plans out there in some communities that are more expensive than others. And by just saying your subsidy is capped and geared to the lowest cost plan in that community, we could have people either pay a larger portion of the premium or they would have to choose the lower cost plan in order to get the subsidy. So it'll be our attempt over the next 4 to 5 months is to really figure out some good options to lay out to our people. And we'll also go through a public hearing process, which we did at the last legislative session, to obtain ideas from our insureds. In terms of the federal funds, House Bill 2519, which is still being debated quite strenuously and feverishly throughout the both sides, I guess, of the aisles. If that passes, that really gives the go-ahead to try to attempt to get some waivers from the federal government to be able to utilize federal funds for both the expanded federal funds for both the Medicaid side as well as the FEOP side, which is the private sector side. If we're successful, we'll be able to hopefully come back to the emergency board for additional federal funds limitation so that we can match those dollars and expand that population. Now, if we could match every person that's in the program and every dollar we have, that would mean going from about 5,000 folks or 4,500 folks now to hopefully 10 to 12,000 Oregonians. Again, it depends on whether we can match every dollar and get every opportunity. Yeah. It would also focus primarily on the group market.
Just real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt, you're on a roll, and I like what I'm hearing, but if we reduce it by $2 million, then you still are able to get to that 10 to 12,000 enrollment projection if we have federal match. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, that would be correct if we're able to get full dollars against those $19 million of of tobacco tax settlement. I don't know if that gives you kind of the overview you were looking at.
Representative Schrader.
Yes, it does. You had also talked, I believe, at one point about capping the amounts, going to preferred provider type options. Is that correct? Are you exploring
that? Correct. Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, we have some parts of the state, for example, Burns, where you may have only a traditional indemnity plan. And those are very expensive. That's where you can choose any provider. There is no HMO available. There may even be no PPO available. You get into other more populated parts of the state, and you'll have three different kinds of plans available to you: a traditional indemnity plan, a preferred provider plan, and a managed care plan. And in those areas, those three options, we are going to look at limiting the choices to either the PPO or the managed care plan. And theoretically, in those cases, we could save it'd be about 10% off of the premium costs that we're currently paying. For example, we just completed a study for the Oregon Medical Insurance Pool and found that we could save approximately $75,000 a month if we just have people in the OMIP program move down to the preferred provider plan from the indemnity plan. I want to thank, first of all, the committee for the interest in this program. I should tell you, just in summary, for the first year of this program, we didn't know what we were doing. For the second year, we really focused on working with our third-party administrator and the transition back over to an in-house administration of it. And it's really been in the last 6 months, I think, that we're finally in a position to look at some of those options and hopefully come up with some good policy ideas that will help us leverage those dollars, whether or not we have federal dollars, to just do a better job of spending the state dollars.
Yes, I'd like to suggest to the committee, to the extent that they're interested, I'm a big fan of this particular approach, more so if they're able to leverage the dollars. That's always been the big negative about it. It's all in straight general fund or tobacco zone or whatever. So the things that Mr. King's been talking about, if it's appropriate, or maybe have a budget note asking him to follow up on what he's offered, which is to come to the e-board and talk about the new plan mix that he's mentioned, where we are with the waiver options, the PPO and cap amounts, and maybe give us an update in April of 2002. That might hopefully give you enough time. We'd have some idea, and then that could help prepare the way for next legislative session.
Hey, Madam Chair, President Schrader, I think that would be part and parcel of the reports that we are having the Department of Human Services come forward with on a regular basis, dealing with the waiver, and so that could just be incorporated
okay.
in that.
That's
but if the committee so desired, I could draft a budget note that assured that Insurance Pool Governing Board participated in that, but they will by default because they're part of the waiver plan.
And stuff beyond the waiver, though, I mean, some of the other things that he's talked about, I think, are important about the different plan mix and the capping amounts and the preferred provider, making it a really excellent addition to our portfolio of health plans for Oregonians.
Senator Hartung.
I must confess, I feel now like you must have felt the first year. I don't know what the heck you're talking about, particularly as it relates to the waiver plan. Please explain that to me.
Sure. Madam Chair, Senator Hartung, right now we do not use any federal dollars in the FEOP program. It's state funds only, tobacco tax settlement or tobacco funds or just straight general fund. We would like to be able to leverage those dollars by getting federal dollars. The only way we can do that is by expanding our eligibility that the federal government is willing to subsidize. And to get permission to expand up to 170% of the, 200% of the federal poverty level. Right now, Medicaid for non-vulnerable populations, adults, goes up to 100%. We want to go to the federal government and say, let us use federal funds to match up to 200%, because that 100 to 200% are primarily working Oregonians, full-time, have families. A lot of them are, believe it or not, are state workers. They just get benefits through the state. But a lot of them work for businesses that don't provide benefits, or work for businesses that, while they provide benefits, the cost-sharing portion of the premium is such that the employees can't afford it. So we basically want to go to the feds and say, we've got a whole bunch of plans out there in the employer-based market, and we've got people that would be eligible if you say okay, and use those federal dollars to help them purchase their employer-based plans. But to do that, we've got to go and get permission from the federal government.
And Chair?
Rock, I'm going to put this even in the more layman's terms I can, because I've worked 10 years in this program with you. This is an exceptional program, and maybe the vehicle we can use to close the loop in Oregon as far as having everybody in the state insured ultimately, and that's our goal. It's complete insurance plans for everybody in the state, and those plans may look different for each individual, but we'll have everybody insured. The Oregon Health Plan, prior to the Oregon Health Plan, you could go to 80% of the poverty level in a Medicaid match program. In other words, the state would put up about 40% of the money, and the feds would put up 60%. The Oregon Health Plan moved it for everybody up to 100%, and for certain categories of people, pregnant women and some others, up past that. And we ran that plan out through the insurance agencies, the Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and those that were available in the state already, so we made them a part of the plan. The waivers we're looking at now is to move that up to 200% of the poverty level, as you said, but to do something different also. Roughly speaking, we're hoping that we can get a waiver not only to move it up to 100% and use matched money, 60-40, which gives us a lot more money to play with, but something new, which is what Representative Schrader is talking about, that we've never done before, and that is that the employer and the employee take part in that plan financially, so that you've got matched money, you've got individuals putting money in, and you've got employers putting money in to support insurance programs. And it would be done on a sliding scale. So if you're right at 100% of poverty level, what the employer employee put in would not be much. But as you went up that scale and you got up to 180, 190% of poverty level, then more money would come in from the employer employee. And this may be the vehicle, this agency may be the vehicle for doing that if we can get the waivers. We believe that when you get to about 200% of the poverty level, you in essence just about got everybody insured in the state. There'll be a few people who aren't, but at 200% of the poverty levels, then people are making some decisions about how they want to spend their funds. They're making some pretty reasonable money. If they choose not to get health insurance, that's a different program or different idea as far as they're concerned. So it's really a strange new mix. It's trying to get leverage from the federal government and trying to get leverage from employers and employees to buy into the program so it's reasonable rates. And so it's a very different program, but kind of an exciting one. It gives an opportunity to close the gap, and that's why I like it so much. I'm so supportive of what you're doing, and that's what Representative Schrader is talking about, too, and I support his position on this.
Representative Schrader.
Yes, Madam Chair. I guess I would like to move the LFO recommended budget for the Insurance Pool Governing Board of $525,529 general fund and $20,032,018 other funds, including $19,980,207 tobacco settlement funds, for a total budget of $20,557,547 and 11.5 FTP.
Representative Schrader moved without having any problems delineating the dollar amount. LFO's recommended budget, $525,529 general fund and $20,032,018 other funds, including $19,980,207 in tobacco settlement funds for a total budget of $20,557,547 and 11.50 FTE. We're taking lessons.
I know.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. And Peggy, is it your recommendation that we, on the budget note issue,
I can draft a budget note and run that by the co-chairs if you would like, that would suggest that the Insurance Pool Governing Board come back the spring of 2002 Emergency Board. I think it will be in April, but we haven't got approval on the schedule yet. And
over
report,
the year,
and that should be specifically them reporting on their role in the waiver. I would also point out that, and I'll be checking up on this in the next days, if you'll remember, on the list of potential reduction options in the OMAP budget, there was a reduction option dealing with cost neutrality on the waiver. And I would point out that the elimination of the $2 million in this budget may affect that number, because that number was assuming federal match on the full $22 million, and so there may be some switch in that number, but I'll have to work through that. So I'll draft a budget note and run it by the committee and the co-chairs, if you want to do that conceptually.
So moved. So moved.
I'll take this one. Representative Schrader moves the conceptual budget note. Is there any objection?
Cindy, excuse me for being out of the room for a minute. Can you tell me what is conceptual budget note?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, Representative Schrader suggested that the agency come back and approximately $800,000 report on its role in the waiver dealing with the Oregon Health Plan and also in its efforts to maximize enrollment through various means.
Yeah. Any objection? Approved. Senator Yee, while you were out, we approved the LFO's recommended budget. Did you want to be
recorded
as an aye?
Appreciate it. Yes. I vote aye.
This is a good thing because the biggest, we've concentrated on the Oregon Health Plan this whole session, but unless we fix small employers' ability to provide insurance, medical insurance to their employees, you know, the trend had been great, and now it's going the other way. I've got I'm changing providers right now in my own practice because the costs have just gone through the roof. We have to find a way to help the small employers and their employees stay insured. So this is, I think, very critical, one of the most critical budgets we'll have.
Any other comments? Senator Hartung.
This question directed at any one of you who might know about it. Noticed in the paper this morning, the Beaverton School District is really at loggerheads over health insurance, and they have two different plans they are considering. And what we're talking about here, is there any way that there is, you know, I guess I would say a subsidy available for those members of the Beaverton School District to choose one plan? There's two different plans, or I guess I mainly don't understand is, you know, the quality of service, how it differs in the two, because there's quite a difference in the monthly payments for the plan. Of course, should the school district pay the portion, or does that fit? That probably doesn't fit in at all what we're talking about here, does it?
I think that's probably more bigger, the Blue Cross, Regency, those types of providers, as opposed, this is a fairly small endeavor.
Yeah, and I want to assume that it would also include part of their negotiation, their bargaining units.
Yeah,
you know, all of that would come into play as well as part of their benefit package. They're shaking their head. Yeah. Representative Bates.
Just maybe I could answer that for you. I spent the last 10 years on the school board, and that really is a bargaining situation with your local union. It's district by district.
Right.
And healthcare costs for this particular part of the population that they're insuring are extremely high, and it's been a real tough one. And each district's gonna have to work this out about what kind of deductible they have, what kind of a program they have. I have some districts saying their health insurance budget is going up 75% in the next 2 years. That's insupportable, and the union and the district are trying to get together and work out different types of programs, but that does not relate to this program.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to put on the record, I'm going to vote for this budget, but I really object to the fact that we are going into the tobacco settlement monies without some comprehensive legislative approach to how these monies are going to be spent. We had two issues on the ballot this last cycle. It wasn't resolved there. I think kind of the hodgepodge approach to spending these tobacco settlement monies may end up with us looking at the bottom of an empty bucket in the future. I have very strong opinions about spending down the corpus without having some kind of comprehensive plan together. Willing to vote on it at this point in time due to the light nature of the legislative session and small amount of tobacco settlement money, but I really want to just put that on the record that I don't feel like we have a plan and we're just out there kind of grabbing the money. And this problem is not going to go away. It is going to continue to cost more and more money to the state of Oregon, and we don't have any kind of plan but I'll be voting for the this budget because I think this is the only way to resolve it this legislative session in order to provide, in order to prevent future roll-up. I think we have to address the issue.
Your comments are duly noted. Any other comments?
We are adjourned.
Thank you.